Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Just a quick disclaimer. We are not medical doctors, therapists, or dietitians. So please check with an allied health professional before making any changes.
Hello and welcome to Super Gym Friends. I'm Adam.
I'm Zach.
And that's it today.
Oh no.
And this week in Fit?
We're doing listener questions for the first time. Woo!
So,
you guys don't know what's coming.
We have listener questions today. We hit people up on the Discord. The Discord should be a link to which should be in the show notes. And we're just canvassing also some questions that you have been asked from your trainees. What do you call the people who you help?
My disciples.
Your disciples. Some of these are serious, some of them less so, because Jackson jumped into the chat. And
I was wondering, is that actually Jackson?
It is. Yeah, some of the questions, does and you'll he never guess which, are Jackson.
Does he listen?
I don't believe so.
That's what I was so confused.
Jackson barely listens to the shows he's on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I do not expect Jack to listen to this show.
No, it's like, I would describe... And because I'm similar, I would describe it like, I don't know, like eating ice cream. Maybe not eating ice cream. No, sorry. Oh, maybe God. Like, I'm trying to think of the right metaphor, but and log cabin just isn't it for this.
Oh, what a pity.
Or maybe I can work it into log cabin.
Oh, all right. Don't.
So if you spend your days building a log cabin, when you get home, you want a brick house. Because you're like, I've done the log cabin. I have had so much log cabin today. I want brick house, basically.
Yeah, sure.
That's kind of it. That's a good way of describing
it. Yeah, I get, yeah.
And log cabin is fun. Log cabin is beautiful. It's scenic. It's somewhere in the forest. God, I love it. But, you know, there is such a thing as too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's hit you up with some questions.
Okay.
And I love how, without prompting, in the Discord, people just, like, kept calling you Master of Lumps and Bumpy Man.
No, that's because you prompted them with how you asked the question. Like, what was the... Do you have the Discord up?
I have it up.
What was your, like, prompt for questions? Because I think this is where it all came from. I just want to say, I feel honored to be known as the Lumpy Man.
I know, you keep calling yourself that.
Jesus,
hey,
that's so bad.
Hey, we're looking to do a questions episode with Resident Bumpy Man Zach.
There you go.
Well, Resident Bumpy Man Zach does not immediately... I have worked with some of these people in the Discord I am very well accustomed to, and they would not do this unless they just randomly occurred to them. Because
I might
have incepted the idea, but I certainly didn't push them into it. Anyway, we've got some fucking questions.
Let's do it. First one, let's
All
go.
Right. Dear Resident Bumpy Man, what is your favorite workout?
Oof. Man, there's so many. No, that's not true. The best workout for me is my push day.
Yeah.
So particularly my push day number 2 of the week. So using like the push-pull leg structure, push day is when we're doing pushing muscles. So chest, shoulders, and triceps. But I do a little bit of a variation on a push workout. So it's my second one of the week. I do it on a Thursday and I start with a 3x3 bench. So who doesn't love bench press? It's just the absolute bomb.
Who doesn't love bench presses? Sure.
Name me one person who doesn't love bench press. I bet you can't. No, that's not true. I'm sure you can find plenty.
I guarantee I know at least one person.
I know multiple people who don't like bench. So that's a wild claim.
That being said, I think a push or a pull might be my favorite as well.
Oh, yeah. Fuck legs. No, that being said, I'm starting to get back into legs, but yeah, push.
No, I never liked legs. I mean, I enjoy the end of legs because A, it's done, but also I feel good at the end of legs. But I feel good while I'm doing a push-pull.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we start with bench, then a 3x3. I take fucking... am I really allowed to swear on this show? I know I've been doing it for 18 episodes.
No, I don't think we are. No, we absolutely are.
Oh, really?
Okay. If we're not allowed to swear, then I need to go back and edit some old episodes.
Okay. It's 18 episodes in and I'm like, can we swear? And I take way too long on my rest breaks for bench just because I'm trying to push the weight pretty hard. So I take that nice rest and then do seated shoulder press or dumbbell seated shoulder press. Then there's a really nice machine dip in the gym that we train at.
Tight.
Thank you, Adam. Very
A machine dip? What's that?
Dip is...
What dip is. You're talking to the master of dips here. I like a tzatziki.
Yeah.
I like a eggplant. Eggplant's nice. I like a roe or caviar.
What about spinach dip?
Spinach dip depends.
Spinach dip is elite.
Spinach dip for me, it depends on what sort of spinach dip. Because you get hummus a lot. Oh yeah, hummus is great.
This is, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show before, but the absolute best snack that is really unconventional is get a corn chip. You need the specific, not those mission, for those in Australia, not the mission chips where they're one strip. You need the triangle. Hold it on the long end of the triangle and you dip one into hummus, one corner into hummus, one into salsa, and you eat it all in one. And it's so good. Hummus and salsa.
Okay.
Best combo.
Salsa's good. I like a salsa. I think my top three are hummus, salsa, and then a roe or caviar dip.
Ooh, I haven't had caviar dip in ages. But yeah, so the machine dip is essentially, it uses people's, you press, you're doing some sort of
machine
movement.
Machine dip is people!
Yeah.
That's a reference to a very old movie, Zach.
Oh, God. I know, I've heard of Soylent. I know, I don't actually know the movie, but I know
I believe the movie is called itself Soylent Green.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, machine dip is essentially, it's one of those, it's a movement where when you do the movement, it actually, you bring your own veggies in, you put it in this special compartment, mm-hmm. and as you press, it kind of crushes up the veggies and turns it into a dip.
Okay.
And then you get to eat it afterwards.
All right. That sounds good.
Yeah, it is. No, just kidding. Obviously. Dip is essentially a bodyweight tricep, chest, and shoulder movement.
That's a lot.
We've done them before. It's, you have two bars on the side. It's probably going to be best just to look it up. But you have two bars on the side of the body holding on, and then you lower your body in, keeping your elbows tucked in along the sides, and then you're going to press yourself, or you press your hands down into the bars to bring your body up. It's similar to a pull-up, but with your hands down low rather than up high.
Apparently we've done this before. I do not. Look, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well,
it's fine.
The people will have to look that one up unless they got that one, in which case, congratulations, because I've done it and I don't remember this.
But anyway. There's a really good machine which has some really nice angles in it at our gym, so it's just feels great. Mm. Machine dip, then cable flies or just incline dumbbell flies. And then I go into a superset of shoulders, so side lateral raise, supersetted with cable front raise. Or upright rows, which some people are upright rows, don't do them. They're fine. So the reason people say don't do upright rows is because there is, if performed incorrectly, there is impingement risk in the shoulder.
What's an impingement risk?
Impingement is essentially where the shoulder so we have our humerus, which is the big arm muscle, which mm-hmm. attaches into the shoulder joint in a ball and socket joint. And because of the ball and socket joint, it has lots of mobility. So we can essentially do what's called circumduction.
What is circumduction?
Essentially, we could just move the humerus around.
It's a 360 degree movement. All right, sure.
And, but it's also very unstable. And what can happen is if you don't have good stability in the shoulder joint and you're doing some particular movements, it can essentially pinch on certain muscles because the ball and soccer joint kind of gets out of place and pinches them. So impingements are the most common injury to have in the shoulder. There's a bunch of different types. I've had a subacromial impingement recently, like a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm. Painful?
A little bit. It was because I was trying to push the external rotation in my seated shoulder press.
Sure. Which
is essentially like I was trying to tuck my elbow and my arm back further than my mobility would allow, which kind of like impinged it, which was, it was fine. It recovered pretty quickly. But some people, so there is a slight impingement risk with upright rows. However, if you keep your elbows, so if you don't go up too far, so you keep your elbows in only up to shoulder height or slightly lower, the risk is next to none.
Okay.
So supersetting those two, and then I finish with a arm superset. So this is the one exercise where I'm like, oh, cool, this is where we kind of step out of the push session structure where I do actually add in biceps, which would normally be put on a pull session, but I superset tricep and biceps for each of my push and pull sessions.
I hope the people listening understand, because you're hitting, I know this is probably low level jargon, but it feels like a lot of jargon. So I hope the people listening are able to, I'm having trouble following.
I'm sorry. What I can do is I'll be doing it again next Thursday. Mm. So if you guys want to like follow along, I'll post a like set of, I'll post on my Instagram. And maybe even
I think we'll have a link to your Instagram in the show notes. I forget what is and isn't in the show notes.
Yeah, it's Zach_Verhoef if you want to as well, which is just my name.
Hit him up on his Instagram.
Yeah, hit me up on my Instagram, and I'll post like a regular post with like the different slides of the workout so you can follow along. And then I do some sort of bicep and tricep movement. I kind of play around with it, but some sort of curl and then tricep push down regularly. Cool. So that's my absolute favorite workout. Did that yesterday. Felt great. Whew, love it.
All right, beautiful. Next question. Master of lumps, do you know how to get strong forearms?
Yes. So forearms are great to train. There's a few different ways that we can get strong forearms. We essentially want to be doing a lot of wrist curls. So
okay.
Wrist curls and grip strength work. So they're the two main ways. So the function of the wrist is to hold onto something, and it is to, or the function of the forearm, sorry, is to help our hands hold onto something as well as to flex and extend. So predominantly flexing the wrist.
Which is kind of like the gesture, you're showing me the gesture. The gesture is kind of like your hand comes in towards down, or like the, as in the palm comes down and in towards.
You're bringing your fingers close to the inside of your elbow.
Okay.
If you can imagine that. So like try and bring your fingers as close to your elbow, flexing at the wrist
palm
to do
up,
so.
Palm up, you bring your fingers in towards your elbow.
Yep. That's wrist flexion.
Okay.
So what you can do, it's going to be really lightweight. Set a dumbbell in the inside your hand, and then you're going to essentially rest your hand either on a bench or on your knee so that your forearm is locked in place and just your wrist is over the edge of your knee or bench. You're then going to let the dumbbell roll down to the bottom of your fingers, and you're going to roll it back up and curl it in as high as you can, squeeze at the top, then roll it back down again. So that's a wrist curl. The other one to do is reverse bicep curls. So that's where we go. It's training more like brachioradialis, which is a muscle in the forearm which kind of attaches over onto the humerus rather than just across the wrist onto the radius and ulna, which are like the forearm bones.
Sure.
And the humerus is the big bicep tricep bone, essentially. So reverse bicep curl. So regularly bicep curls, we have what's called a supinated grip. So the two different ways that we can change our hand position is pronated and supinated. A good way to remember it is supinated. Imagine you're holding your hands out for somebody to put soup in them. So,
and you want to hold on to the soup.
Yes. So that is supinated is when you have your, if you extend your arms.
To the people listening, it is shockingly accurate to what he is describing. It looks like he wants to hold soup.
For once, exercise is simple.
Yeah.
Anatomical terms are simple. Yeah, so you kind of have your the palms or your, like, the inside of your hand facing up.
Sure.
So that's what you would regularly use for a bicep curl. However, a pronated grip is the opposite. So it's where you have the
You don't want any soup.
Yeah, no, you want to drop the soup on the ground.
All right, cool.
You have the flat of your hand facing up this time, and then you're just going to be doing a regular curl. So locking the elbow in place, curling up, and you'll feel it pumping the forearms.
All right.
The last way to do it is through grip strength. So doing any movement which is going to be grip intensive. So things like bent over rows, deadlifts in particular are great for grip strength. Obviously, there are very complicated movements, so just be careful with them. But one movement which is purely for grip strength is farmer's walks. Oh, yeah. They're great. The funny
Somerset,
thing-
I gotta go get to my sheep in Somerset. I'm gonna go do a farmer's walk.
The funny thing, I think they should be called... I really think we should rename farmer's walks to helping mum take the groceries.
Okay.
Because that's essentially what it is. So a farmer's walk is where you pick
what?
Up. Yeah, just wait, I'll explain it. So a farmer's walk is where you pick something up, whether it's dumbbells, a trap bar is really good to use. Don't do like a regular bar. A trap bar is one of the bars where it's like a square, diamond, or like hexagon, and you kind of stand inside it.
Yes, I know this. The one? Yeah, I know this one.
And so
I used to do squats in them.
Yeah.
They're good for squats.
Squats or deadlifts?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe it was deadlifts, yeah.
You wouldn't be able to do squats in them. You need a squat on your back.
Yes.
Behind your back, yeah. So holding on, particularly trap bar, if you have one, we're going to just pretend we have a trap bar. Holding on to the sides, you have the plates, like you load it up pretty heavy, you hold on, and then you just walk forward.
Okay.
You literally just walk. And so you can do it for... like sets based upon how many steps you take, or even better is how long you go for, because steps you can kind of make them quicker or slower, but time is going to be much more consistent.
Time is consistent, sure, yeah.
Yeah. And
I find the same thing whenever I'm doing, whenever you assign or whenever I'm doing, what do you call it? Squats, like walking lunges.
Oh, yeah.
I find the same thing. I'm always like, I try to get like a consistent thing, but always, you know, you get a bit fatigued and then you start, I certainly start noticing that at the beginning, I will sometimes be going extra fast and have a different stride because obviously I'm going a little bit faster. It changes my momentum. And then at the end as well, I notice my stride begins to change as well as I get super fatigued.
So the difference with that though is that's actually like a really good thing and that's very natural. With our lunges, the challenge of it is getting as many lunges in as possible. Whereas the challenge of a farmer's walk or a farmer's carry is to hold on as long as possible. So we kind of want to make the metric tied to what the goal of the movement or like what the progression should be. So
I forgot we were talking about getting big forearms.
Yeah. And so the reason I say it should be called helping mum with the groceries is because it's very akin to like, whenever I do them, I just imagine myself being like back at home and mum's come home from like a big grocery haul. She's been to Aldi. She's parking the car and is like, Zach, it's time to help me out. And you go, cool. I'm only doing one trip and one trip only. I do not care how many bags there are. I will not be going back.
I don't think you need to include mum in this. I think wanting to do the groceries from the car to the house in one go is pretty universal any age.
See, the problem is I live like right next door to a supermarket.
Yeah.
So it's not really like, I just go up and back very quickly. The only time I've had to do that is like when I was back at home in like the old grocery haul.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I have bad forearms.
Yeah, your forearms look disgusting, Zach. Yeah. It's not like you have a fucking chiseled... Anyway.
But so, yeah, it's like when you're holding just 1,000 grocery bags and trying to just walk them in as quickly as possible. That's a farmer's
probably
carry.
A more healthy version of that. Yeah. Certainly a more controlled version. Probably better for your back.
Yeah, probably. The other one, like, this is a bit of a, like, bonus... forearm builder is rock climbing.
Okay.
Rock climbing is just, if you have a look at people with the biggest forearms, rock climb, like in proportion to the rest of their body, rock climbers have ridiculous ridiculous forearms.
They also have massive hands. Speaking of today's movie, have you ever seen Free Solo?
No.
So today's movie is Free Solo. It's okay. An incredible movie. It's about this guy.
What's happening?
You know how we always have a movie?
No.
Yeah, no, we have the movie recommendation. Okay, so today's movie recommendation is Free Solo. So it's a documentary. Yep. Actually, it's a documentary about this guy. I forget his name, and I actually forget the name.
Oh, I do know. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Free climbs.
Insane.
It's fucked. Yeah, yeah. Holy shit. And you look at his arms. He's got like massive arms, but also you look at his hands.
And they're
he's
like, got, like chunky as.
His hands look like frog hands. Because he's like, the pads of all of his fingers and stuff like that are all like wide and flat because obviously he's just worn them down like that.
Yep.
And then I was watching. So in addition to that documentary, he was doing like an interview with GQ or something like that, just breaking down scenes, climbing scenes in movies. And in one of them, some Sylvester Stallone movie, Sylvester's climbing and he puts a hand somewhere and a snake comes out up on like a fucking mountain and tries to attack him. And obviously it's a movie, but then this guy is like, no, that happens. Sometimes you're just climbing the side of a mountain and he does it free. So there's no ropes. He is just halfway up a fucking mountain. And if he falls, if he lets go, he's dead. There is no recovery.
And there's a fucking snake there.
I know. Yeah, he's like, yeah, sometimes you're climbing and it'll be a snake or it'll be a spider. And he's like, one time I was climbing, put my hand somewhere, it was a spider's nest, and the spider was just like, like biting him again and again and again. And he's like, well, I can't let go. So I just have to cop this and keep going.
Jesus Christ.
I know. And then when that happens, he's also like, and you're halfway up a mountain, so you're like, well, I got to finish because there's no safe way to do anything.
Are we sure that he didn't, that wasn't a radioactive spider which gave him like the webbed hands which allowed him to climb the rest of the way?
I feel like if a radioactive spider gave him those powers, it was a long time ago. I don't think it happened halfway into his career.
True, true.
Anyway, that's today's movie recommendation, Free Solo. It's a stressful watch though. Do not watch it if you get stressed out watching dangerous things. Mm.
Yeah. I just remember like seeing one of my old friends from way back. I like hadn't seen him in a while, and I remembered he like when we last met, he just started getting into rock climbing.
Yeah,
and he was more on like the leaner, like lankier side. But when I saw him recently, his forearm, like he'd been rock climbing for about a year and a half now, and his forearms were legitimately bigger than the rest of his arm, like which regularly shouldn't happen. They just were massive, and he was just like talking about he was doing crazy stuff rock climbing. So. Rock climbing is so much fun, and it's a great way to get big forearms as well.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Next question?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Zachary, the Lord of the Lumps. Pilates versus yoga for preventative maintenance on my joints when I make it to being an old man.
Yeah, great question. So ultimately, it's going to come down to personal preference for this one. Mm-hmm. What's really good about both Pilates and yoga is that they both have a lot of emphasis on breath work. So like similar to what we were talking about before, breath work is just so important for stability and protection in the body because it's what is going to be working our like functional core, our like stabilizing core. And so doing either is going to have that focus. I would say, personally, I would be more, like, just personal preference for me. Yeah, personally, I'm more inclined with Pilates just because yoga is, like, you need a lot of flexibility for it. And as somebody who, like, doing weightlifting stuff,
you lose a little bit of that flexibility.
You lose a lot of that flexibility. Either's going to be great. I think another thing to keep in mind with sort of like joint strength and when it comes to old age is there's nothing that says we can't keep weightlifting. If anything, continual weightlifting throughout our lifetime is going to be one of the best things for us. So joint strength and bone health, like, is going to be such a huge issue for a lot of people. And one way that we can increase our bone and joint strength is through weightlifting. So load-bearing weightlifting, where we... So essentially when we train our muscles, we get what's called microfiber tears in the muscle tissue themselves. And in the process of healing those microfiber tears, the muscles get bigger and stronger. The exact same thing happens in the bones. Mm-hmm. So it's what's called bone mineral density, where we get these micro, like really small fractures almost, or like breakdown of the bone, but then it gets healed really quickly. And in the process, we continue to increase the bone mineral density. So starting weightlifting as soon as possible and then continuing it on to old age, understanding that as you get older, there will be like some loss of strength and muscle size that is mm-hmm. just natural as we age, but continuing to do compound lifting, load-bearing weightlifting in particular. Load-bearing is the important thing because that is when there's force going through the body, like more force than just regularly walking, like regular body weight. And that is what is going to help maintain joint health, bone health as well. On top of that, I would, if this is something of like quite genuine concern, I would also highly recommend using collagen supplementation. So collagen isn't something that I use for myself, but it is really good for increasing bone mineral density as well and keeping joint health and essentially like increasing joint health as well.
Sure.
I know that some people might know collagen for like the beauty purposes as well. Apparently this is not where I heard of it, but I've heard from like some friends recently that like,
I think good for like it skin gets used elasticity. Mostly actually in the beauty industry. Okay.
Maybe. I know lots of people who use collagen for like bone and joint health though. That's probably just because that's more my sphere than like the very makeup possibly. Beauty industry. Not many bodybuilders are too concerned with their skin elasticity.
Maybe they should be.
Maybe they should be. Definitely. There's some... Yeah, skin Isn't gets weird. That...
Yeah, oh yeah, skin gets incredibly... a complicated subject, shall we say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely is. yeah.
Beautiful. Next question.
One. Yep.
Dear Zach of the Bumps, my lower back is knackered following an injury in my early 20s. Nowadays, it likes to seize up after exercise. I also work rotated shifts and a physical job that I can't do while seizing, so finding time to consistently exercise is a challenge. Any suggestions or any lower back exercises that are relatively gentle but won't take forever to do? I've a baby now too. Oh gosh, which makes finding time difficult also. Yeah, that sounds like a struggle.
Yeah, that sounds like a big challenge. I think like first of all, before I get into anything specifically, one thing is as a personal trainer, this is out of my scope of practice mm-hmm. to recommend like very injury based prevention stuff. So see your physio beforehand to confirm or to get like more in-depth prescription. I don't know the exact specifications of your mm-hmm. issues as well. So just important to keep in mind, see an allied health professional before you do implement anything. With that in mind, I think a very important distinction is when it comes to the safety and health of our lower back, never train the lower back.
Sure.
So the lower back itself is not made up of particularly many muscles. The main muscles which people associate with the lower back are going to be the spinal erectors or erector spinae. Mm-hmm. They are these two long spindly muscles which essentially go from the top of the neck to the top of the hips, running all the way down the back, following kind of either side of the spine. So a really good way to know where they are, you can feel them really prominently in the lower back. If you just kind of like put your hands on your back, find the center, and then you should feel two lumps on either side of that center. Down the lower back. Can you feel it, Adam? Adam's doing it with us.
I'm trying to. I don't know. I've got to work my way through a lot of flab. No, I'm just having trouble feeling my spine, to be honest.
Just find the center of your back. It'll be like a dip in the middle.
Yeah, I can see. All right.
You
oh,
see how that kind of sinks okay. in the middle? But then it yeah. goes up on either
so
side.
So the two hills on either side. Okay, I feel it now.
Your spinal yeah. erectors. So
yeah,
those,
I don't have it.
You just don't have a lower back.
No, it's just flat.
Yeah, nice.
Mine's a grassy field, not really a valley.
Yeah, so those are the two most prominent lower back muscles. The ones I would also add in there would be our deep core, so transverse abdominis does attach around to the back of the spine, so that is our, like, deep core.
Getting to a deep core is something that dwarves sound like they want to do.
I was going
to
say, like,
we
a
need
therapist.
To get to the deep core, but we've dug too far down.
So it's interesting that you go dwarves, because I was thinking, like, a therapist, like, we got to get to the deep of, like, the core issues. You
In
know?
Some
like,
ways, dwarves are well, therapists.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of cheer, you know? They just every help brighten your day.
Every dwarf is a therapist, but not every therapist is a dwarf. That's important to know.
Yeah, definitely. Don't get them mixed up. Like, yeah. Yeah, you'll get therapists very mad if you call them
Take
dwarves.
A seat, laddie. Let's go through all of your different issues, I guess. This is my impression of a therapist. You'd think I'd nice. Never gone.
Yeah. So the way that the spinal erectors actually develop their strength is through creating extension in the lower back. So in order to create extension, we first need to flex it and then extend under load in to increase their strength. It can be done, 100%.
Sure.
But it is going to be more harmful than it is going to be beneficial for the purposes of protecting the lower back. So I don't want you to approach this from the position of we're here to train the lower back to strengthen it, because by doing spinal flexion movement, spinal flexion is what will have caused the, like, spinal flexion under load particularly is what will cause the issue in the first place.
Yeah.
So using spinal flexion movements and spinal extension will, under load, will make this worse. It will not train them well.
Okay.
What will help protect the lower back, as we talked about in the previous episode, is breath work in particular. So doing essentially deep belly breaths. So I recommend, like, one way I like to think about it is when you do that deep breath in, I want you to try and feel that breath in the base of your spine.
Okay.
So it's get it deep, get it low, have your stomach expand, because those are the muscles of our deep core that are expanding. That's our transverse abdominis, internal and external abdominal oblique on the sides. And so when you breathe out, they contract, creating that intra-abdominal pressure, and that intra-abdominal pressure is a protective force around the spine. What I would say to do first to help develop that very, like, baseline strength is, and I get everybody who starts training with me to do this, no matter where they are, is to set a reminder every single day from 10:30 to 3:30. Sorry, one at 10:30, one at 3:30, which says, think about breathing for 30 seconds. And so okay. In that 30 seconds, all you're going to do is think about where in the body is your breath.
Sounds like it might be helpful to start doing meditation.
100% meditation is great, but also not everybody is into meditation. It can be quite challenging for a lot of people, where this is a little bit more of a meditation. When you do it, it is a good opportunity to help train that breath work, but it's not necessary. I think this is, like, an easier one for people to start.
Absolutely.
Where you have that 30 seconds, think about whether it's in your chest or your stomach. At the beginning, it will very likely be in the chest. That's just how we've relearned how to do our breathing. And so in that time, I want you to try your best to bring that breath low into the body till you feel that expansion and contraction of the stomach. Once the 30 seconds is up, completely forget about it, go along your day, and then do it again later at 3:30. Do that for about a month is what I recommend, because for pretty much everybody, if you consistently do it, and that's the key, like if you actually do the work, where a lot of the time people not, but sure. If you do the work in by like week 3 or 4, you'll be getting your reminders, you'll think about where your breathing is, and without a doubt, it'll be effortlessly in the stomach.
Sure.
It'll just be there. And then with that, what that means is that throughout your day, your breathing will be constantly training your deep core. It'll be training these muscles, which are protective around the spine. They're going to keep your back healthier and safer. The other thing with this back pain is whenever you're lifting, make sure to keep good form. So doing lifts like squats and deadlifts, where there is a lot of tension, which is on the lower back, if you do have any sort of flexion or overextension in the back, it will place excessive tension there. That is where I suspect that seizing will come.
Mm-hmm.
And so keeping a neutral spine, breathing through your movements, so breathing through the effort of the movement specifically. So the effort is, or what I want you to think about is the concentric phase. So for an example, the effort of a deadlift is as we pull the bar up. The effort of a squat is as we push the bar up. Effort of a row is as we pull the bar in, things like that. So
when you're exerting the effort.
Exactly. The hardest part of the movement.
Sure.
Breathing out on the effort. And so that's going to help use your core to keep it protected in its most vulnerable position. And as well as that, just being very careful with your exercise selection as well. Essentially, if lower back pain is an issue, you want to minimize, if not extinguish, any sort of spinal flexion movements altogether.
Okay.
Just don't flex at the spine. There will be moments in your life where you will need to have spinal flexion. So it's not like we can never flex our spine, because we have to tie up our shoelaces, we have to pick stuff off the ground in awkward places, and we have to do all these different things which do require it. But minimizing that and using the gym as a time to stay away from it, particularly if we're trying to put it under load, is going to be the best thing for you. And I think just to kind of finish off for the episode,
sure.
One thing I want you to think about in regards to the back seizing up is I want you to get into like a mindset, and this is something I try and develop with everybody I work with, and hopefully you and Trent have started to do this as well, is thinking about the body as a separate entity to our consciousness. Sounds really weird.
Getting metaphysical here.
A little bit. But it's, so there's like a very common term that I'm sure a lot of you guys hear from people in like the health and fitness world, where they're like, I really just learned how to listen to my body. And it's like, what does that mean? But I think a good way to start to develop that ability to listen to your body is to think of it as its own consciousness. Because in many ways, the subconscious functions of the body have its own like conscious reasons for the things that it does. So in this circumstance, or way to think about it is, when the lower back in particular is seizing up, is getting really tight, it is a protective mechanism. What your lower back is doing, or what your muscles are doing, is it's going, you have put me in a vulnerable position.
Mm-hmm.
You have moved me or put too much load in certain positions.
And where, that was rude of you.
Essentially, yeah, that was rude. I did not feel safe. I did not feel protected. And therefore, I'm going to prevent you from doing that again.
Until I can trust you.
Pretty much. I'm going to make sure that this isn't going to happen again for a certain period of time. And I'm going to punish you. I'm going to make you realize that what you did was wrong and was dangerous by sending you signals of pain. So pain is not a bad thing.
Your muscles only understand the monkey brain, and they're like, hey, dude, we don't understand that you have a consciousness. We'd say words if we could, but all we understand is how to talk to the monkey brain, and the monkey brain knows pain.
Pretty much. It's like, here is a stimulus. It's the body is constantly trying to communicate with us, and I want everybody to stop.
If your back is broken, how are you going to run away from Big Bird?
Exactly. How are you going to run away from your friends throwing rocks at you?
If you can't tie up your shoelaces, how the fuck are you going to put the runners on when the fucking gorilla comes to kill us?
Yeah. And so this is what it is to listen to the body. It's to understand that the signals that the bodies are sending have meaning to them and to try and decipher what those meanings are. And for you, the meaning in this circumstance is very simple. It's that you've put me in a vulnerable position where if I did not prevent you from doing this again, then you would cause irreparable damage. We could have a herniated disc. We could have any sort of like, we could have spinal damage. We
Bane
could hit
could
the nerve
break
system.
Me.
Yeah, that, Bane could break you, things like that. And so it's essentially saying this pain is to tell you. Pain is just the body saying that there's something wrong right now.
Sure.
Pain is not necessarily a bad thing. I think it is bad if it's ignored, but pain itself is not bad. Pain is just, hey, I want you to pay attention to this specific thing.
Sure.
And the seizing is the body going, okay, cool, you put me in a position that I didn't want to be in, so I'm going to stop you from being able to put me in that position again. Okay. So just a bit of a way to think about that. And when I think you understand what your body's trying to tell you, then you can start to look at changing how you approach your daily situations so that you don't put it back in that position.
Sure. Not really much of a glossary today, I guess, because it was a questions episode. We didn't get into too much technical stuff, but I guess suppose a summary instead of a glossary was favorite workout was a push day. You gave a couple of different recommendations for how to get strong forearms. The most prominent one seemed to be rock climbing.
No, I would say wrist flexion and grip strength.
Okay.
And rock climbing.
You personally prefer Pilates versus yoga, but you say that they're both okay.
Yeah. And in old age, weightlifting is still a good choice, excellent choice, and I would highly recommend it.
And finally, if you're having lower back issues, speak to an allied health professional.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, I've been Adam.
I've been Zach.
Happy lifting.
Thanks for listening to Super Gym Friends. Once again, we are not medical doctors, physiotherapists, or dietitians, so please check with a healthcare professional before making any changes. If you want to get in touch, email us at supergymfriends@gmail.com. And to continue the conversation or to speak directly to resident bumpy man Zach himself about in-person or online training, links to our Discord and Zach can be found in the show notes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.